Rhonda and Naomi. I appreciate that. You've done a wonderful job. Let's go to John chapter 15 in our Bibles tonight. And John chapter 15, we have some folks, some young people taking lessons from Belinda, some very talented musicians here. She is one of them, and I appreciate that so very much. Belinda Prather on the flute tonight. John chapter 15, and let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. We're going to read the first five verses of our chapter. Please join me on the even-numbered verses 2 and 4. Jesus speaking. And he says, verse 1, I am the vine, and I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's pray together. Dear Father, this has been a good series for us, and I pray that you'll help us again tonight as we come with now the fourth message on this subject. Help us not to accept the subnormal as normal, and to, Lord, look at the normal as abnormal. God, help us to have a hunger and a thirst for what you wanted us to have when you sent the Holy Spirit and power in this New Testament church age. Help the message tonight to be a blessing and an encouragement. Be with the song, the singer, and the message to follow, please, in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Cheers.
That was a blessing, wasn't it? My goodness, what a good song. I enjoyed that. I said about you kiddos sitting out there, you know, I want you to have a good time when you come to church. I'm glad you can have friends here and play and have a good time and enjoy being at church. But I want you to understand one thing, be very serious with you for a minute. If you think you're going to be reared in a godly family and a good Bible-believing church and then just walk away from it and God's going to be okay with it, you better think twice. You better think twice. To whom much is given, much shall be required. And boy, what a great song. What a great song tonight. Wonderful. And enough said on that. I don't have to even say anything. It's just a blessing. I enjoyed it. We're on this thing of normal Christianity. This is the fourth one, and I want to speak a little bit on that subject tonight. Save some time at the end for a little fun with Brother Caleb and our Adam and Eve. Okay? All right, the gremlins, we got to do something to get the devils cast out of the sound system before next Sunday, amen? And walk around here and bang some pots and pans or something and do something. Dear Father, help us tonight. I pray that every child in this room who is born into a Christian godly home would see the grace of God in their life. They got a dad, mom, who bring them to church. And have some rules and regulations around the house. Help them to see how wonderful that grace of God is in their life. And Lord, may they dedicate themselves to being thankful for it. Help me tonight in this message, and I'll thank you for it. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst for the life that you purchased for us. You didn't come that we just might have life, but you came that we might have it more abundantly. And it was great cost to you. So help us, Lord, to have that you purchased for us. In Jesus' name, and amen. Specific, special answers to prayer. That's the normal Christian life. A personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. So personal that it would be as if Jesus were with us. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, of course, He is. The life of Jesus reproduced in us. His love, His joy, His peace in us. His love, His joy, His peace in us. Now, these are all characteristics found in John 14, 15, and 16 of the normal Christian life. These characteristics are only for only a select few of God's special chosen people, kind of an Aryan nation type of Christianity, if you will. You remember Hitler? He was gonna develop that Aryan nation of tall, strong, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryan nation people, and so forth. And sometimes we look at these characteristics of the normal Christian life, and we feel like those are for special people, but they are for each and every one of God's children, each and every one. And think about what we just said. Special and specific answers to prayer. A very personal, real relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. And then the life of Christ reproduced in us, specifically His love, His joy, and His peace in us. Those are the things that should be normal Christian experiences. Now, we go through life seeing little or no answers to prayer. We have a distant relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we live a life that is void of His joy, His peace, and His love, and then we accept that as normal. We say, well, this is just normal. And all those other things, those are for a select few, little special group of Christians. But friend, we need to understand that those characteristics are normal. We need to desire at least what is normal for a Christian to experience. Here's our problem. We live a subnormal life, and we look at the normal as abnormal. That is only for a select few. We can't have it, but that's not true. Now, let me give you another characteristic of normal Christianity as Jesus described it in these chapters, and specifically in John chapter 15. He said a normal Christian life is a fruit-bearing life. A life that bears fruit because of its relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to nail down something right here about this passage of Scripture. This passage is not a lesson about salvation. This passage is a lesson about fruit bearing. It has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. It is a passage about fruit bearing. Look, friend, if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure, pardon me, that you're on your way to heaven, you don't need a message on fruit bearing. What you need to know is that God loves you, first of all. Forgive me. Is that God loves you, first of all. Second of all, you need to understand that He loves you so much He sent His Son Jesus to come to this world and to die on an old rugged cross to pay your sin debt. Because everybody is born into this world a sinner. Pardon me. Let me get a drink here. And because we're born into this world sinners, we owe the debt of sin, which is eternal separation from God forever in the lake of fire. God doesn't want you to spend eternity. I hope this gets under control. Excuse me. God doesn't want you to spend eternity separated from Him. So that's why He sent His Son to die for you. Okay? He was buried. 3 days and three nights later, He rose again from the grave. It's His death, burial, and resurrection that purchased free salvation for every individual. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. If you could work for it or earn it, it wouldn't be free. Eternal life is the gift of God. And the only way you can make a gift yours is to receive it. Receive it. And what you need to do, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, you need to understand and confess that you're a sinner. That you've sinned before God and you've sinned against God. And you understand what the Bible teaches about the penalty of sin being eternal separation from God forever. And then you turn to Jesus Christ, because the only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not through the baptism. I don't know. We may have fun and go home. I don't know, all right? It's not through the baptistry. It's not through the church role. It's not through Christian posterity. It's not through that. Not American citizenship. The only way to God is through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. All right? So that's salvation. This passage is about fruit bearing once you become a child of God. And so for all of us in the room tonight, and that may be everybody, or there may be somebody here that's not a Christian. But for those of us that are saved, this is a passage about fruit bearing. Now, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, Jesus said, He's talking here. If you've got a red-lettered Bible, these are red-lettered words. He says, I am the true vine. Now, you need to get in your mind, I guess, tonight, the picture, if you will, of a grapevine. And the grapevine has a vine, and then you've seen them. You've seen those conquered grapevines. And then when we were over in France visiting Ben and Ashley, man, we were in wine country in France, of course. And there were grape vineyards everywhere. I've been through New York State and seen the grape vineyards everywhere up in New York State, the upper New York State region. And so you've got the grapevine that wanders down through the little place where the vines are. And this, they got the string or the fence. And then off of the vine, you got the little branch. And the grapes form on the branches, and they hang so loaded and so full. And that's what you kind of picture. Jesus said, He is the vine. He is the vine that's wandering, weaving its way down through the grape vineyard, okay? And then he said in verse number 1, My Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser. The husband, the one that takes care and cleans up the vine and makes sure it's in good shape to bear fruit, okay? So Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser or the husbandman. You and I, all saved people, are the branches. Now, in verse number 2, there are two kinds of branches. Look at it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, do you see there's only two kinds of branches in that verse? They're the non-fruit-bearing branches, and then there's the fruit-bearing branches. There are two kinds. These are the kinds that bear, here's the branch that bears fruit, and then here's the branch that doesn't bear fruit. All right? Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman. And on the vine are several branches. And there's only two kinds. You can take all the branches and drop them into two categories, one of two categories, the kind that bears not fruit and the kind that bears fruit. Now, Jesus said, every branch that beareth not fruit, the husbandman, the vine dresser, God the Father, taketh it away. Taketh it away. Now, I know this is not a passage about salvation because God doesn't take away salvation once He gives it. So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about fruit bearing. Two different things altogether. All right? Fruit bearing. Now, let me say this, folks. God is looking for fruit on His branches. So God's looking for fruit in my life, and God's looking for fruit in your life. If you're born again child of God, He is looking for fruit on His branches. Now look, friend, we may treat salvation as just a fire escape from hell, but God doesn't treat our salvation as just a fire escape from hell. God did save us from hell, but He did more than just save us from hell. He fixed us so that we could go out and be a fruit-bearing branch in His vineyard, all right? And that's what brings Him honor, and that's what brings Him glory, a fruit-bearing branch. Hold your finger here and look at Luke chapter 13. Hold your finger in John 15 there. Back up a few pages to the left and come to Luke chapter 13. You'll see a similar story in Luke chapter 13. And verse number 6, Luke chapter 13, and verse number 6. Here's what He says. Jesus again speaking a parable now. He spake also this parable, Luke 13, 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. So this man has a vineyard. And he got an orchard, fruit trees, fig trees. And he comes to look for the figs. Now, if you've ever had a fig, a fresh fig off of a tree, they are absolutely delicious. And we had them and my parents had them in the backyard of our home in Georgia. And man, those old figs would get ripe and bust open, and the honeybees would get around and, I mean, get in those things. You had to be careful you didn't bite into a honeybee. Seriously, when you pick them off the tree, they're good. So the certain man had a fig tree, came looking for some fruit. He found none. Look what it said, verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years, gave it 3 years. I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. I've been here. This tree has been in the orchard for 3 years. And find none. I'm looking for fruit. This is my third year. And this tree still not bearing fruit. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's taking up space in my vineyard. I want a tree here that'll bear figs. Now, do you blame the owner of the vineyard? Folks, he's not interested in pretty green leaves. He's not interested in how tall it gets. That doesn't get him anything. He's looking for fruit. He's in the agriculture business. He wants some fruit. So he said, the leaves are pretty, sure. It's a beautiful tree to look at, but there's no fruit on this thing. Cut it down. It's cumbering the ground. Look at verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, in this parable, the certain man is God the Father. The dresser of the vineyard is Jesus Christ. God comes looking for some fruit on his fig tree. And there is none. And cut it down. It's taking up space in the orchard. And Jesus says, Lord, he's the intercessor. He says, Father, if you would please, let me work on this tree. Let me dig about it and let me dung it. Let me fertilize it. Let me put some more time and effort into it and come back next year. And if there's no fruit on it, then cut it down. But give me one more year to see if we can get some fruit on this fig tree. Now, friend, God expects some measure of fruitfulness from His branches. Again, He did not just save us to enjoy a fire escape from hell. He expects to find some fruit. Now, they're only His branches. Back to John chapter 15. We're done in Luke 13. Okay, back to John chapter 15. They are only His branches if they are connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. And then God is looking for fruit. How serious is it if there is no fruit? Well, the Bible says, He taketh away every branch that beareth not fruit. This passage does not teach you can lose your salvation. There are too many other places in the Bible that tell us when you are born into the family of God, you can't be unborn. This is talking about fruit bearing. When I was at the boys' home in Pikeville, Tennessee, Shepherd Lane Boys Ranch, Brother Mike Hagee was the director of the home, and we were supported by churches, like we support mission projects out there. You see the plaques in our hallway out there. But, Brother, the support was never what it ought to be. Brother Hagee was always looking for other ways to make some money to keep the boys' home afloat. And so, up on the mountain where we lived, on Walden's Ridge, north of Chattanooga, north of Dayton, Tennessee, north of Soddy Daisy, up on the mountain, was a farmer had a lot of apple orchards. In the fall of the year, we went to the apple orchards and we picked apples. I mean, set ladders up against those trees, had the apple sacks over our back, climbed up the ladders and picked apples all day long. Did that day after day after day after day, bag after bag after bag after bag. I mean, it was monotonous, and Brother Mike knew that, and we were a bunch of wild Indians, a bunch of old crazy guys, and so sometime during the week, you could count on it, there was going to be an apple fight. And the apples that had fallen off on the ground, some of them had big bruise spots on them. You've seen them like that, big old brown bruise spots. And all of a sudden, somebody would get plunked in the back or the leg or in the face by an apple, and the war was on. And for the next 10 minutes, it was just whoever you could hit with an apple. And that's just kind of letting the steam off, all right? And we picked those apples. That was like September, October. February in Tennessee can get a little chilly. It was always 10 degrees colder on the mountain than it was in the valley. And in February, we went back to those same apple orchards with pruners and loppers, and we pruned the apple orchard. We cut it back. You prune trees where you live, and the bushes where you live, you cut them back, and that's what we did. And we were taught how to prune the trees. We were taught what branches were fruit-bearing branches and which branches were not fruit-bearing branches. We called them suckers. Suckers usually grow long and straight. They're thin. And they don't produce fruit. What they do is sap the energy out of the tree that could be going to another fruit-bearing branch. And so all day long, we not only cut the fruit-bearing branches back and trim the trees down, we cut every sucker out of the tree. And they would come behind us and inspect our work, because you're talking about 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old boys and a bunch of wild Indians. But we were taught how to cut those. That's where I learned to work through discomfort. Brother Vineyard would have been proud. I woke up with the flu one morning, and we had to go to the apple orchard, and then we were against the time to get it done. And Brother Mike said, "Terry, I got to have you. You got to go." He got me a roll of toilet paper and a bottle of Pepto-Bismol. And I went to the apple orchard, cut a few suckers off, and ran to the woods. I'd come back, cut a few more suckers off, and run to the woods all day long. Sick as a dog. Wouldn't let me go back. That's a blessing. Brother Vineyard would enjoy that story, wouldn't he? Amen. He would really like that. I don't guess I've ever told him that. I need to tell him that next time he's here. But anyway, we cut the suckers off. When you cut the suckers off, you took them away from the fruit, the place of fruit bearing. They were non-fruit-bearing branches, and we cut them off from the place of fruit-bearing. Now, folks, when the Bible says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away," he's not saying they're cut off from salvation. He said they're cut off from the place of fruitfulness. God is looking for fruit. But after so long, in Luke 13, he said 3 years. I'm not sure that's a specific number of years. But after a while, if there's no fruit on the tree, cut it down. It's not losing salvation. It's taking it away from the place of fruitfulness. What a sad life to live as a child of God, an unfruitful Christian life. And you say, are there Christians? Yeah, there are Christians who go through life as an unfruitful servant of God. No life. And after so long, God takes them away from the place of fruitfulness. John chapter 6, the Bible says that many of Jesus' disciples went back and walked no more with him. They got offended. He even said, "You're offended at something I said." And they left and walked no more with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something, friend. Listen very carefully. It would be very difficult to bear fruit for Jesus if you're not walking with Jesus. So when those folks walked away from Jesus, you know what they did? They walked away from the place of fruitfulness. And this is what the Bible is teaching here. We are supposed to live a life as a child of God that bears fruit. God comes looking for fruit on His branches. Here's a branch. It's been here for 3 years. It's been here for 6 years. It's been here for 9 years. I suppose it may be according to what's been invested in you. How much fertilizer, how much teaching, how much herbicide, how much truth has been put into this branch, and it's still not bearing fruit. Here's a branch that hadn't borne any fruit yet, but there's been very little invested in it. So we're going to give this branch more time. I'm not the one that decides that, and you're not the one that decides that. Only God is the one that decides that. You know what? Long enough, I'm going to remove them from the place of fruitfulness, and they're destined to live an unfruitful Christian life. Come into heaven by the skin of their teeth. No fruit to show for their Christianity. That's sad. And that's not the life that Jesus purchased for you and me. He purchased a life, not only eternal life, but a life of fruitfulness, fruit bearing. Now, what about the fruit bearing branches? Well, he says in verse number 2 that the fruit bearing branches are purged, pruned. And why is a tree, why is a fruit tree pruned? Why is it cut back, folks? Why do you cut back your flowers? Why do you cut back some of your bushes? I got those spirea plants around my deck in the back. And those plants are prolific. And every year I cut them back. And they grow out bushier and greener the next time around. Why do you prune and cut back a bush or a fruit tree? So that it will produce more fruit. And that's what Jesus said. If you're a fruit-bearing Christian, Jesus is going to work on you. God's going to work on you. There are going to be difficulties brought in our lives. There are going to be inconveniences brought into our lives. They are not designed to aggravate us. They are not designed to frustrate us. They are designed to prune us, to clip us, to keep us humble, to keep us in a place where God can use us and bring more fruit from our lives than before. Now, I think of Ron Hamilton. I was going to ask you, Tom, how old Ron Hamilton was when he went in for that eye surgery. Do you remember? He was a boy, wasn't he? He was in his 20s, and he has an eye problem, right? And so he goes to surgery on his eye. He goes into surgery thinking, when I come out of surgery, I'm going to have my eye fixed. I'm going to have my eyesight. When he comes out of surgery, he has no eye. What did they find? Cancer in the eye? So they took the eye. How would you like to wake up from surgery and you don't have an eye? And when you went into surgery, you thought, man, this is going to be better. Can I say that it was better? Because he didn't suck his thumb and pout. He put a patch over his eye. And he became Patch the Pirate and wrote hundreds of songs and how many plays using Patch the Pirate to teach children and adults Bible truth. Now you tell me that Ron Hamilton would be as fruitful with both eyes as he is with only one eye. You think so? No. This was purging. This was pruning. This was God's way of cutting, if you will, on the life of Ron Hamilton, which probably was already a fruitful life. But after God got through with him, he brought into his life this trial, which absolutely resulted in Ron Hamilton bringing forth much fruit in his life. And that's what God does to every fruit-bearing branch. You understand sometimes, some of you folks who teach Sunday school, some of you folks who are faithful witnesses, either through the church or outside the church, you folks that are passing out tracts, you folks that are trying to win folks to the Lord, you folks that are trying to serve God and trying to have a life of fruitfulness, and sometimes these inconveniences and these difficulties and these hard things come into life. You think, Lord, what? I'm trying to serve you. God's not trying to frustrate us. He's not trying to aggravate us. He may sense a little pride starting to creep into our hearts. He may sense a little something in there that's going to result in something bad. And so he cuts and he purges and he puts us in a place of bringing forth more fruit. That's what he does to fruit-bearing branches. So non-fruit-bearing branches, he takes them out of the place of fruitfulness. To fruit-bearing branches, he purges them. Now, I want to give you two thoughts. This is not long. Two thoughts for the fruit-bearing branches. Two thoughts for the fruit-bearing branches. Number one, fruit-bearing is the result of abiding. It's the result of abiding. Look at verse number 4. Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Do you see that? Cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, did you see two or three times in this verse, these two verses? Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. You abide in me, I abide in you. And if I abide in you, and you abide in me, then you will bring forth fruit. The branch needs the vine. But the vine needs the branch. If we were to go to a grape vineyard and a grape vineyard could talk, and we were to ask the grape vine, how do you produce grapes? The vine would say to us, I produce all the necessary ingredients for the branch to bear fruit. All the branch has to do is stay attached to me. And I provide everything necessary to produce the fruit. I don't bear it. I provide what's necessary to produce it. But the branch would say to us, I don't produce the fruit. I just bear it. All I have to do is stay attached to the vine. And if I will just stay attached to the vine, I will bear the fruit that the vine produces. Do you see that, folks? Abide in me and I in you. And if you will abide in me and I abide in you, then you're going to bring forth fruit. It's not a matter of magic. It's not a matter of something superstitious. It's the natural process of a born-again child of God abiding in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It will produce fruit in the Christian's life. All right? Each of them has specific responsibilities. The vine produces the fruit, the branch bears the fruit, but one thing is absolutely certain. The branch has to abide in the vine, and the vine has to abide in the branch. Right? Okay, here's a rancher. Here's a rancher, and he's got a branding iron. And he's going to use that branding iron on a bunch of cows that he rounded up out in the wilderness. And they were just roaming, free-range cattle. And he got them all rounded up. And now he's gonna brand them with his branding iron. Okay? So he's got the branding iron in the fire. And as you look at the branding iron in the fire, it's got his brand on it, the Circle K or whatever you want to call it. It's got the branding iron's in the fire. And it's all orange and glowing brightly, just bright as can be. Boy, I used to see that over at Thrall Car, Chicago Heights. Doing the railroad cars and welding over there. And they had those great big furnaces, and they would put these, you know what a pop rivet looks like. But this would be a pop rivet on steroids. A huge thing, man. I mean, a huge thing. And it was in this furnace, and it was just roaring with fire. And they would reach those tongs in and pull that thing out. It'd be glowing orange. So he's got his branding iron in the fire, and it's glowing orange. And he pulls it out of the fire. And it's glowing orange. Now, is the branding iron in the fire, or is the fire in the branding iron? When he pulls it out of the fire is in the branding iron. But the longer the branding iron stays out of the fire, the sooner the fire leaves the iron. So the iron has to go back in the fire for the fire to be in the iron. You with me tonight? Not hard to figure out, is it? Iron's in the fire, fire's in the iron. Iron comes out of the fire, it's got fire in it for a while. But it's not going to stay that way forever. It's got to go back in the fire to keep the fire in the iron. Amen. That's what Jesus is teaching here. For us to be fruitful, we've got to abide in Christ. Now, how do you abide in Christ? The way to abide in Christ is to abide in His words, in His books. In His book, it is absolutely impossible for you and me to neglect the Bible and be a fruitful Christian. You can't neglect the Bible and be a fruitful Christian. This is how Jesus abides in us, and this is how we abide in Him. This is how we stay in the place of fruitfulness. We stay in our Bible. We have our devotion time, quiet time, whatever you want to call it. And we have that time alone with Christ. We read His words, and they're in us. And we pray and talk to Him. His word is abiding in us, and we are abiding in His word. And that is how you stay in the place of fruitfulness. It's abiding. This is the fire. We're the iron. We need to be in the fire so the fire can be in the iron. As long as the iron is in the fire is in the iron. You with me? You got to abide. It's amazing to me that the most wonderful thing about being a Christian, bearing fruit, begins with simple devotions. You can't get away from devotions. You can't get away from it. You cannot neglect the Bible. You cannot neglect the quiet time. You cannot neglect little time spent with Jesus Christ and be a fruit-bearing Christian. This is how He abides in us and we abide in Him through His Word. Look at verse number... I didn't write it down. Look at verse number 7. If ye abide in me... and my words abide in you. There it is. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. This is how we abide in Him, folks. This is the fire. We're the iron. We've got to get in the fire so the fire gets in us. So, by the way, look. Do you remember the parable of the sower? the sower went out to sow seed, right? The seed fell on good ground. And on good ground, the seed brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. What is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. The seed will produce fruit. I abide in Christ through His Word. I have my devotions. I have my time of Bible reading. And my, you know, we always think that Bible reading and prayer and devotions will keep us holy, and it will, and keep us from sin, and it will. But Bible time and devotions will do more than just make us holy and keep us from sin. It'll help us bear fruit. You can't get out of the fire and keep the fire in you. That's how you abide in Christ. You abide in Him. Now, number two, fruit bearing is not only the result of abiding. Fruit bearing is the result of going. Look at verse number 16. He's speaking, still talking here on the same subject of fruit bearing. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. He said, I've ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit. So I leave my devotion life to go out about my day. And as I go out about my day, I come into contact with people that I can be a witness to. That Jesus can reach through me. Look, folks, the Christian life has never been one of isolation. The Christian life is one of separation. But it's not one of isolation. And He said here, I want you to go and bring forth fruit. Go out. Abide in me. Read my Bible. Have your devotions. Let me stir a fire in your heart. Worship me and talk to me and let me talk to you. And then close your Bible and go about your day and be constantly aware of the opportunities that Jesus gives us for making an impact for the cause of Christ. If I don't abide in Christ through His Word, if He doesn't abide in me through His Word, it is impossible for me to make a mark, to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Okay? So here's the branding iron. The branding iron comes out of the fire. It's glowing. And he walks over, the rancher does, to that first cattle. They got him all tied up. And he sears his mark on that cattle. Now that cow belongs to him. And while he's got that branding iron, he's got another cow tied up. And he sears the hide of that cow. And now that cow bears his mark. But how many can he do before he has to take the branding iron back to the fire? And he puts the branding iron back in the fire, and the fire gets back in the branding iron, and then he can go out and he can brand some more cattle. And that is how God's people go about the business of bearing fruit. If we will just simply abide in Christ, have our devotions, get the fire burning in our heart, and then go and look and be aware of folks all around us who are on their way to hell, we could make a mark for Jesus Christ in many cases. That's how it happens. But for some Christians, it doesn't happen. And we're satisfied. Why are we satisfied with subnormal? This is not for some select little special group. This wasn't just for the disciples. This is for you and for me. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, boys. But don't fret. God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to do wonderful things in your life and wonderful things through your life. And you're going to have special and specific answers to prayer and a great relationship with the Holy Spirit. And He's going to reproduce in you the love of Jesus and the peace of Jesus and the joy of Jesus. And He's also going to help bear fruit in your life. That's normal. Not bearing fruit is so subnormal that the Father eventually takes it away from the place of fruitfulness. This thing's just taking up space. Now listen to me. The truth of the matter is, for most Christians, the best way to put yourself in a place to bear fruit is to be part of some organized time of witnessing for Jesus Christ. Look, let's admit, folks, let's admit that, you know, we'd like to think that all of us would be soul conscious throughout the day and seize every opportunity that comes across our path to hand somebody a tract or to witness to them verbally. But most of us get so deeply buried in the events of our day that we don't take the time to think about who's around us, if they're saved or lost. That's why it doesn't hurt us to have a time dedicated to say, for the next hour and a half, for the next 2 hours, it's not about the radio, it's not about the TV, it's not about the DVD, it's not about the stock market, it's not about work, it's not about this, it's about going out and putting myself in a place where hopefully the Spirit of God can help me bear some fruit. Now, this thing has generated a lot of people going out visiting. Now, look, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the figures, look at the stats. You got a lot more folks going out visiting. What's happened as a result of that? More people coming in. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing, isn't it? But I hope this doesn't end with May 3rd. Because look, what's going on right now? We're looking at it as abnormal. Oh, it's a program. Why is it abnormal? Kind of seems to me like this is supposed to be the normal Christian life. We've accepted the subnormal as normal. And we've decided that the normal is abnormal. And that's just for, you know, a couple of churches here and there. That's just for a couple of Christians here and there. No. A million times no. This is the life Jesus purchased for us. The abundant life. This is what He expects. This is what He wants. And God the Father, Jesus, come looking for fruit on the branches. Come looking for fruit on the fig tree. And you can. And I know there's several kinds of fruit in the New Testament. There's the fruits of righteousness. There's the fruit of the Spirit. But friend, look, even the fruit of the Spirit tell me that love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, all of those things are designed to help us reach more folks for Christ. Sure they are. Now, I know this kind of stuff gets uncomfortable. I know people squirm and gets uneasy. And, you know, I know that. But what do you mean to ignore it? This fruit-bearing's normal. Fruit-bearing's normal. Now, look, I can't explain it all. And I don't know the mind of God. And I guarantee you, I don't even try to figure God out. You know, you go and you go, and sometimes you don't see visible results, and you have your devotions and you're praying and you go soul winning and you don't see the visible results, but you keep going, and then all of a sudden, boom! God gives us results. And I can't explain all of that. But I do know this. If you will abide and go and abide and go and abide and go and abide and go and abide and go, eventually there will be fruit. Our problem is we get frustrated and fretted and upset because, you know, we didn't have somebody saved, didn't have a visitor to church the first time we went out. So, boy, this don't pay off. It's crazy. You know, if I gave up deer hunting every time I went out and didn't kill a deer, I'd never go deer hunting. Never. It blesses me. Yeah, I come on Tuesday nights, and Brother Caleb says, testimonies, fellas. And there's guys that go and go and go and go and they never have a testimony. Then you come on a Tuesday night, and Brother Caleb says, who's got a testimony? And the guy raises his hand last Tuesday night. This is how it works. It's fruit-bearing. Abiding and going and abiding and going. And I got to be in the fire to get the fire in me. And once I leave the fire to go out and try to make a mark for Christ, I can only do that so long before I have to run back to the fire to get the fire back in me. And abiding in Christ and going and abiding in Christ and going and abiding in Christ and going. And Jesus said it works. Why have you given up? Don't throw in the towel. Go and abide and go and abide and go. Don't give up on your devotions. Don't give up on going. I hit stretches where I don't see people saved. Aggravates me. But friend, I'm not going to take somebody's arm and twist it until they cry uncle and say, get on your knees and say these words after me. I'm not going to do that. And I go for stretches, and then you, it's like I told somebody, you're doing the same thing you do every week, and you come back empty-handed, and then you go out. What in the world? Man, what just happened? A couple of three Thursday nights ago, I took Cherith out to get some tracks passed out. If the Eves win by 75, by 50 points, you guys can take me out and lynch me, okay? I mean, that's what you'll have to do. But I took her out to get some tracks passed out. Boy, everybody takes a track from a 12-year-old blonde. I guarantee you. Nobody refused her. And then we went to make a follow-up visit. That family that was baptized this morning, the man came here. He moved from Oregon. And he came here because his aunt goes to the Spanish department. But he came to the English service because his wife, who was still in Oregon, speaks English. She's English. She's a Caucasian. And he said, told me that Thursday, I wanted my wife to come to an English-speaking service. That's why I came to your service center. Right back there by that post, came right down the aisle, trusted Christ as his Savior a couple, three Sunday mornings ago. And on that Thursday night, I just went to follow up on him. And he says, this is my wife. She just got here from Oregon like 2 days ago. Graciela came in and Kathy came in and Veronica came in. And all these people that go to the Spanish church. And I'm talking to his wife and ask her if she's saved. No, I don't know that I'm saved. Born again, I don't know what that means. I said, can I take a few minutes and show you from the Bible? And she sat in the five people watching. I was kind of like, you know, vamos. Is that Spanish? Vamos? What? Vamos. Yeah. I don't know. Something. Yep. They're just staring. I mean, they're staring. So I'm sitting on the couch with this poor woman. She's five sets of eyeballs bearing down on her. I'm talking with her. I'm looking at me. When I ask her if she needed to trust, you need to trust Christ? Yes, I do. Do you want to trust Christ? The tears just rolled down her cheeks in front of all those people. She bowed her head, trusting Christ. Graciela was weeping, tears rolling down her cheeks, and she said in Spanish to her bilingual daughter-in-law to tell me, we've been praying that somebody would come talk to her when she got. Now look at me. You folks, I've been here almost 19 years. I'm no super soul winner. You know that. I've never tried to set myself up as some super soul. In fact, I'm probably not very good in that category. But you go, and you go, and you go. You abide and go, and abide and go, and abide and go, and abide and go. And eventually, there's going to be fruit. I don't know who signed Nicole up on the bus route, Brother Rex. Did you sign her up? You signed her up. So here's a man who got saved because his kids rode the bus to church. Now he's the bus captain. And he signs up a little girl to come to church. And they go by every week. And they say hello to mom and hello to dad and hello to teenage boy. Mom comes and visits, I think, once before, and they go by every week and pick up the little girl. And the little girl comes home and sings the songs about church. And then they were here Easter Sunday, and we go by on Saturday night and I had a follow-up on him. It was his first time here, and he gives a testimony of salvation. And she says, I have a question. You talked about being baptized, and really, my son and I need to be baptized, but we don't know what to do. I said, well, have you ever been born again? And that lady and her son got saved yesterday. Now, that's the possibility. This is two people in the last 2 weeks saved because of the Spanish ministry and the bus ministry. And look, you just got to get it, abide and go. And if you don't see somebody saved, at least you went. We get away from the spring and the fall program, and about 4 weeks after it's over, we're back to, you know, a small little group of people going out. And I try not to get mad, frustrated, and fretted. Lord, help us. But it would be wonderful if this thing would just catch on as a part of the normal Christian experience. To be a fruit-bearing branch, to not to be a non-fruit-bearing branch, is subnormal. You see, some of us we're too investment and return minded to just be patient and obey God. And if we don't see something for the time that we're investing, you know what? I'm wasting my time. No, anytime you're obeying God, you're never wasting your time. Get in God's program. And just abide and go and abide and go and abide and go and abide and go and abide and go. And eventually, you're going to bear some fruit. You cannot bear fruit apart from abiding, and you cannot bear fruit apart from going. But if you'll abide and go, eventually, there'll be fruit. Amen. And that's normal. Amen. That's normal. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I just hope it stays. I just love it to see. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it go on. I'd love to see it grow and reach you and some of you folks that just have gotten out and quit going. Jump in. It's the normal Christian life. Fruit bearing. Let's pray together.